Now, NDE Radio, a weekly exploration of near-death experiences and similar encounters with the other side. Now, here's your host, Lee Whitting.
Welcome to NDE Radio with Lee Whitting. Whether you're listening on TalkZone, by podcast, through the archives of our ad-free shows on our YouTube channel, or by connecting through our Facebook page. Near-death experience is a fact, not a religion. And people of all faiths, or no faith at all, share similar out-of-body experiences, often including meeting a spirit they identify as Jesus. Different religions, both Christian and non-Christian, debate whether Jesus was a man sent by God or an aspect of God himself. But most of them agree that Jesus was a true representative of the love and forgiveness God wants for the world. Christians observe Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday as the most sacred time of the year. It's a weekend that exemplifies the worst of human cruelty in the crucifixion, overwhelmed with the possibility of God's love and forgiveness for us despite everything, and offers our chance to become one with God in heaven. While Jesus' death and resurrection is celebrated as a sacred confluence of human cruelty, loving forgiveness, and heavenly reconciliation, Jesus' perfect transition leaves us wondering, what happens to my soul when I die? Given what God expects of us, the cry of, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, can haunt our thoughts and dreams. Well, it turns out there is another three-day period we celebrate that sheds some understanding and guidance on our possibilities as well. That's what All Hallowstide is all about. Roughly 6 months after Easter, the 3 days when we mourn Jesus' torture and death on Good Friday, his day with the dead on Holy Saturday, and his resurrection into the light on Easter Sunday, we find a parallel adventure for the rest of us in the 3 days of Halloween, All Saints' Day, and All Souls' Day. Jesus' Easter experience was codified for the church in the Apostles' Creed, written around the year 325, with few changes made after that. About Jesus' death and resurrection, the Apostles' Creed says, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, or he descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when we contemplate our own deaths, we hope for a direct flight to be with God as well. Our problem, of course, lies in our ego, our selfishness, and our shortcoming to love God and one another. These are what makes our deaths different from the model set by Jesus. In a recent article in the New Yorker magazine titled The Hunt for the World's Oldest Story, author Manveer Singh notes, Proto-Indo-European linguists have mapped how words spoken 5,000 years ago have branched into the webs of vocabulary we know now. For example, the Sanskrit root for our word man, as in mankind, meant thought or soul. And I found this interesting because it implies we've known for thousands of years, by the very definition of the word man, that we are torn between our brain and our soul. Our brains desire what we want as humans, while our souls know what we should desire spiritually, and the wants of each are rarely the same. This conflict in our natures can make death seem ominous. During a near-death experience, when the soul leaves the body, we usually proceed through a tunnel of sorts to a life review. In that detailed life review, we experience how our actions affected the others we encountered in our lives. We stand in their shoes and feel exactly what we caused them to feel, both for good and for ill. That's a trial Jesus surely passed with flying colors, and by following in his footsteps, we might do the same, but for the most part, we do not. Halloween, October 31st, is the night we acknowledge our shortcomings and even make fun of them, costuming our kids as the manifestations of evil in the world. On Halloween, we parade annually the skeletons, ghosts, fallen angels and demons in our horror movies, fill our yards with tombstones and skeletons, and dress our children in scary costumes to trick or treat. All of it hints at a world full of ghosts crying for our help. So over the 3 days, Scary Halloween gets most of all the attention, leaving All Saints Day and All Souls Day mostly neglected. But that first day and evening, Halloween, is a mix of pagan and Christian beliefs about what can go wrong when we die. So there's some real fear underlying the fun. What might go wrong when we die? Fear, anger, guilt, and doubts of how much God loves us can leave us stuck in what the early church called purgatory, a state of mind that can stop you in your journey toward the light. There are different manifestations of purgatory, one being the realm of ghosts. Many out-of-body NDEers have encountered ghosts who are confused about being dead or remain addicted to something from their life. They may fear to face the life review that awaits them, or the possible choice to reincarnate. Some are addicted to a place or a loved one, while others are sometimes seen by NDEers in bars, lifting pretend glasses along with the living patrons, hoping to re-experience their unrequited alcoholism. Another notion of purgatory is reincarnation, born again to live another lifetime, but this time spent in doing good on earth. More than half the world's religions believe in the reincarnation as an alternative to hell. That is, the option to live another lifetime to learn to be more loving, giving, and worthy for heaven. But of course, a soul can deteriorate during another lifetime as well. Tibetan Buddhism describes the passage from one life to the next as traveling through the bardo, an out-of-body passage that sounds like a journey through a purgatory of your own making. Wikipedia describes the bardo thusly. According to tradition, in Tibet, after death and before one's next birth, when one's consciousness is not connected with a physical body, one experiences a variety of phenomena. These usually follow a particular sequence of degeneration. From just after birth, the clearest experiences of reality of which one is spiritually capable, and then proceeding to terrifying hallucinations that arise from the impulses of one's previous unskillful actions. For the prepared and appropriately trained individuals, the bardo offers a state of great opportunity for liberation, since transcendental insight may arise with the direct experience of reality. For others, it can become a place of danger, as the karmically created hallucinations can impel one into a less than desirable rebirth. Belief in reincarnation came to be rejected by the Christian church for the most part, based on the grace and forgiveness brought to the world by Christ's sacrifice for sin. And yet, early Christians held on to belief in the reincarnation option for several hundred years after Jesus' death. And polls indicate, even today, that perhaps a third of Christians still believe in the possibility of reincarnation as another opportunity to go back and live a loving life. And for one unpleasant moment during my hospital work as chaplain, I personally became part of purgatory for a man dying of cancer. Angry, afraid, and desperate not to die, he left his body and tried to move right into mine. His fear and anger made me dizzy, cold, and nauseated. I left a room full of his weeping relatives and stood leaning against a hallway wall. I told him he had to leave, that he couldn't have my body. I told him to look for a friend or an angel to help him go into the light. It came from me not as a prayer, but as a command. That's when he left, and I instantly felt better. Prayers from the living can help a soul move closer to the light. The Catholic Church calls prayers for those in purgatory indulgences. So you could call my command to that man's soul an indulgence from me. Unfortunately for Roman Catholics, however, during the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church exploited families who worried their deceased might get stuck in purgatory. Priests demanded to be paid to say indulgences, and it became a big moneymaker for the church. In fact, the reason there is such a thing as Protestant churches today is mainly due to Martin Luther and his protest, the protest in the name Protestant, against how the Catholic priests of the day were monetizing purgatory by selling indulgences. The Catholic Church taught that souls in purgatory could be assisted by the actions of the faithful on earth, and this became part of the tradition of Halloween. In olden times, children in costume would go to homes where someone had recently died. There they would be given soul cakes to eat in exchange for an indulgence. A prayer from an innocent child for the soul of the dead was a powerful thing. Saying prayers for the dead is generally a good thing, but this belief became corrupted in the late Middle Ages when priests demanded payment to shorten a deceased loved one's stay in purgatory by praying indulgences. The deal was, if the family would pay the priest to say Mass for the deceased would shorten their stay in purgatory and perhaps go straight into heaven. This money-making deal upset the Augustinian monk Martin Luther. According to tradition, Luther nailed his written protest against the indulgences for money scam, his so-called 95 Theses, to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517. That's right, on Halloween Day. And Luther's protest on Halloween ultimately triggered the Protestant Reformation. One further note on indulgences. The old phrase from the Apostles' Creed that Jesus descended into hell went along with the understanding that Jesus went there to bring instant indulgences to those he knew deserved liberation into the light. Whether it took the form of prayer or command, the indulgence of Jesus saved countless souls, some believe, who got saved from purgatory on that holy Saturday. We spend most of our attention on the first day of All Hallows. That's because our fascination with death holds our earthly attention more than the rest. For the day following Halloween, All Saints' Day, let me just note that it's a time for the saints in heaven to pray for us and for us to be guided by their prayers to love one another. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, said, "Purgatory is not some kind of supra-worldly concentration camp where man is forced to undergo punishment in a more or less arbitrary fashion. Rather, it is the inwardly necessary process of transformation in which a person becomes capable of Christ, capable of God, and thus capable of unity with the whole communion of saints." Benedict was strongly influenced by St. Catherine of Genoa, who lived during the same era as Martin Luther. She, however, had the advantage of experiencing a spiritually transformative vision of God's love and purgatory that was far deeper and more loving than Luther's legalistic objections to selling indulgences. About Catherine, after 10 years of marriage, she was converted by a mystical experience during confession on the 22nd of March, 1473. Her conversion is described as an overpowering sense of God's love for her. After this revelation occurred, she abruptly left the church without finishing her confession. This marked the beginning of her life of close union with God through prayer, without using forms of prayer such as the rosary. She began to receive communion almost daily, a practice extremely rare for lay people in the Middle Ages. She combined this with unselfish service to the sick in a hospital at Genoa, in which her husband joined her after he, too, had been converted. So on this cusp of the Reformation, St. Catherine of Genoa reframed the theology of purgatory as voluntary, loving, and even joyful. Catherine said, "As for paradise, God has placed no doors there. Whoever wishes to enter does so. An all-merciful God stands there with his arms open, waiting to receive us into his glory. I also see, however, that the divine presence is so pure and light-filled, much more than we can imagine, that the soul that has but the slightest imperfection would rather throw itself into a thousand hells than appear thus before the divine presence. Therefore, purgatory is a state of both joy and voluntary pain. She also wrote in her treatise on purgatory, chapter 9, quote, "Again, the soul perceives the grievousness of being held back from seeing the divine light, the soul's instinct, too, being drawn by that uniting look, craves to be unhindered." End quote. This is where understanding the third day of All Hallows, All Souls' Day, comes in. It celebrates the communion of saints. That is the pool of love and unity that can exist within God's love for us all. Because of the communion of saints, we are all part of a single mystical body with Christ as the head, in which each member contributes to the good of all and shares in the welfare of all. The faithful who are still pilgrims on earth are able to help the souls in purgatory by offering prayers, that is, indulgences, in suffrage for them. The earliest known use of this term to refer to the belief in a mystical bond uniting both the living and the dead in a confirmed hope and love, and that comes from Saint Nicetus of Remesiana. He lived from 335 to 414. The term has since then played a central role in formulations of the Christian creed. Belief in the communion of saints is affirmed in the Apostles' Creed, which I'll close with today. It goes, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." So have a happy and meaningful Halloween. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our more than 500 archived ad-free NDE interviews, go to TalkZone's NDE radio site and hit the past shows button, or go to our YouTube channel, NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, where you can subscribe to and comment on the complete NDE radio library. And listen next Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern at TalkZone, for more NDE Radio. I'm your host, Lee Whitting, saying once again, thanks for listening.